general rule that every poet is a fool. But you yourself may serve to show it. Every fool is not a poet.
All right. Welcome to the Poet's Pantry here on Vintage J&B. This is a segment of our show that we just, cooked up a long time ago, thinking, well, we just can't play music the whole time. So we spent a lot of our time here on Vintage J&B doing the Poets Laureate all across the country. We seem to have polished them off. But occasionally we have somebody else in who we feel would add to the quality of our offerings to our community. And one of those is Tom Proxima, who is here again in the studio with us. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Good to see you. Tom has been with us once before, I believe.
That's correct.
To read some poetry. But however, as Bill noted in our introduction earlier in the program, Tom, since the last time he was here, has had his first full volume of poetry published by Maristone Press here in Seattle. And the title of the book is
The Safety of Edges.
The Safety of Edges by Tom Proxima. And Tom is a magician.
He's a lot of things.
He's a performer.
He's Vachon's Renaissance man.
Yeah, a performer, a singer, an all-around bon vivant, wouldn't you say?
I don't know how bon, but he's certainly vivant.
I think he's pretty bon,
pretty
you
bon.
Ask me. He's pretty bon. So you're going to be doing a reading here on the island to share with us?
Yes, indeed. On Thursday, March 14th at 6 p.m. at the Vachon Bookshop.
Oh, the Vachon Bookshop is such a lovely space, isn't it?
It is a wonderful space. It's one of the first places that I got to know when I first moved to the island 18 years ago.
Yeah.
I walked in one day and I was looking for a job at the time, and I recited Ogden Nash to the woman Devin Atkins, who was working there at the time. And she said, I'm afraid we don't have any jobs right now, but you're the first person to walk in who we might even consider giving one to because of the poem you memorized. So anyway, I've had a wonderful relationship with them ever since, with all of the people there. It's a beautiful, wonderful
bookshop. It's a really great addition, as I say, to our community. Why don't we, we're going to read a few poems.
Yeah.
And why don't we read one or two, and then I want to talk a little more about the book. How's that?
Sure.
Okay. So take it away, Tom.
So the first poem that occurred to me to read was one. So as you mentioned earlier, I am, among other things, a magician. And I every first Friday I'm at May Kitchen doing my signature combination of poetry and magic for anybody who's interested.
I did not know that. What time?
The whole evening.
You're kidding.
Anytime on a first Friday. I'll be there doing my thing. And sometimes I'll be doing poetry. Sometimes I'll be doing magic. Sometimes I'll be doing, it sort of depends on what any group table happens to be interested in. And some people came into the restaurant I didn't know or recognize, but they seemed to know me somehow. And it turned out that it was a couple, and the young woman had gone to the same graduate program more recently that I went to in writing at Ohio State University. And she had just happened They had just happened to come to the island because it was a sunny day, and they had just happened to see my name in the window of May Kitchen, come in and see my book, and they bought my first copy that I in May Kitchen, and they had read a poem, and it really resonated with the fellow who was with her, and he because he said it reflected an experience that he had, so I thought I'd start with that poem.
Okay.
It's called Change of Plans. My father and his father built a shed by our house, its roof at an angle, complete with an attic, its own little door, a square with an X. They'd almost finished it when the county came by to say the new building couldn't be where they built it, though no one in the office had said it to my father when he went there 2 weeks before. But Grandpa was undaunted, and they set it on some pipes, rolling it with our neighbors to the corner of the yard, where someone else already had cut down the hedge to make room for the shed, the great ship with barn doors, sailing the backyard, the narrow green sea, then coming to rest in the newly cleared clearing, no longer at home at the edge of our house, but at least still standing, still a shed in our yard, where it stands to this day, though we moved somewhere else, and no one there now knows the story. And this fellow who had come in said that he had once moved to a house, a shed, with his father, that they had cobbled together, and it had also had this slanted roof, just one slant
side
to it. And he had wanted, he's an artist, and he'd wanted to move, he had sort of expressed out loud to his father, wouldn't it be nice if that faced the south so we got more light? And his father said, well, we can do that. And they put rollers underneath, and they, you know, cantilevered it around and moved it around. And interestingly, in his case, that property is about to leave their family. And so particularly the end of the poem, he said, resonated with him. And I thought, isn't that how it goes with poetry? We don't know whose story we're telling, even as we're telling our own.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes. And the whole idea of something, when you leave it behind, that history kind of goes with you. You know, and sometimes just the opposite. I feel like you leave something behind and you've left some piece of your history in that place, in that house, you know.
Yeah.
So kind of, it's kind of a two-way street there.
That's true.
Lovely. Okay.
Let me find another one here. Speaking of connections.
It's a very handsome book. It's very well put together.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
It was designed by a painter, Galen Garwood.
Yeah.
And his painting appears on the cover, and he did the textual work too, which I really love. Here is another poem about connections. Hands beyond hands beyond hands. This hand has come from the hands of my parents, coming from the hands of their parents in turn. This much I know, easily enough, my grandparents' hands in my hands. But their hands came too from hands beyond hands, coming from hands beyond hands we can only imagine, though without them we would have no hands. These link to those as day links to night, as death links to life, as life links to light. A chain of small links that link beyond time, all of it here in our hands.
That poem was in three-quarter time. You realize that?
I'm not sure I did consciously, but I'm glad to hear that. And I have increasingly striven to compose by ear, to really follow an internal organic rhythm.
It sounds like a song.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
that is. Oh,
that's so interesting.
That
but you heard the signature, the three quarter.
Yeah,
that's nice. That's really nice. So you said that this book was sort of a piece. It's not simply a collection of poems that have been written over many years or in many different circumstances. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about how this book is this book?
Well, I'd wanted to have a book which had a coherence to it. And so I sort of on a whim, I started on the spring equinox, and I wrote a poem a day till the fall equinox. And I had the thought that it would be about equinoxes. There's probably a fancy way to say the plural equinox, which I don't know.
Equini?
And of course, as these things go, you know, some of the poems I was happy with, and they went on to have long lives, and other poems they lived for a day and then have sat in a drawer. But rather than equinox being the theme, I mean, there's one poem in there which is on equinox. Something else emerged, which had to do with with the title, The Safety of Edges. And I'll, in a moment, I'll read a poem which helps set that title into its own context. But as that theme emerged, which had to do with different senses of home and belonging, and connections and connectivity, there were a couple poems that came in from that I'd written before that period and a couple poems which came in from after that period. But I found that the book did have a certain sort of coherence to it which is very pleasing to me both as a poet and as a reader. Some of the books of poetry that mean the most to me have a similar sort of coherence. They may have come into the world in very different ways, but there's a sense in which it's not just a collection of poems, but there's a kind of internal narrative or story or interweaving of stories underneath or between the poems.
Yeah, that's it, so that as you read them, you get a sense of the whole.
Yes.
That's lovely. Why don't we read a couple more?
Sure.
And then, see. And then people are just going to have to wait to get more.
And then we'll have to...
They'll have to go to the
leave them
reading.
Waiting and dangling,
leave,
as
leave
it were.
Leave them dangling and wanting more.
So this is the first poem in the book, which in some ways, I think, sets the stage, as it were, for what The Safety of Edges is about, to the extent that it's about anything. Insight. As a child, I walked through our house in the dark, eyes closed, keeping out all the light. Lamps in the streets, stray beams from other houses, the glow of city clouds at night. Nothing to dull the emptying darkness beyond even the darkness I could see. I wanted to see with my hands, my body, my memory of space, of time between places. Here, the door. Here, the doorway. Here, the chair, the dining room table. Here, the hutch whose edge I could reach, reaching out and reaching out, taking the sharp corner in my hand.
That's very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Nice is such a tame word.
I know. I know. I would think, Bill, you know, you, my man of words.
And so there is one of the strands, one of the stories that weaves its way through the book is the experience of the first house that I grew up in and my sister grew up in, and of wandering around in the dark and finding what is it that I find to grab onto. And of course, that's both literal, but more than literal. Here's another one from early on in the book and also from early on in my experience called Saying Grace. At our first house on 39th, the willow that wept could clog up a pipe in the sewer beneath us. If it rained, the water backed up through the drain, carrying old shit to the feet of my father. I could see how he felt when he showered before work. So one night before dinner, when we each shared a prayer, I prayed for what I wanted, not knowing how to say it. Dear God, I said, praying, my hands held before me, please make the toilet feel better. My mother and my father chuckled at their son, who felt a little sheepish, but also understood, and my family all laughed at the prayer for the toilet and did feel better for a time.
You know, that's the one we used in the PSA.
I loved that. Yeah. I loved that that was part of that.
Well, it's sort of taking those moments, you know, and recognizing them for what they are, very, very special and very, you know, important in their own way.
Yeah.
Even though they're not some huge thing.
Yeah.
And I think I find delving back into our earlier lives from the perspective now of where we're coming from, just so interesting.
Yeah.
To look behind and go, wow, what, you know, to sort of, I don't know, explore it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Brooksma, always great to see you.
It's always lovely to be here.
So it's going to be March 14th at 6 p.m.
Yes.
Vashon Library.
The Vashon Bookshop.
The Vashon Bookshop. Oh, my, mm-hmm. So sorry. The Vashon Bookshop. Vashon Bookshop. Vashon Bookshop. Okay, cleared that out. The Safety of Edges.
Yes.
Reading.
Right. I'll be reading and I'll sign copies and answer questions and I look forward to the gathering.
Well, we already have a copy, so we're going to have to get you to sign. We'll bring it with us. How's that?
Lovely. Great.
Thanks.
Thanks so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for being here. And she turns on the thing and it doesn't play. Let's try that again.
Sir, I admit your general rule that every poet is a fool. but you yourself may serve to show it. Every fool is not a poet.